Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to May. It is May 3rd, 2017, and this is Molly McCord with your weekly astrological and energetic updates. Every Wednesday, we gather here to discuss what's going on up there out in our solar system and how it's affecting us here on our small little planet that circles the giant sun and how it's all working with us and affecting us and the best choices you can make for your conscious soul growth. And that is what I hope to offer you. It's one of my passions. I feel that it's useful to understand you always have choice, as well as the understanding that we are bigger stories than this one human lifetime. We are on the grand soul journey of energy, and we have many parts of ourselves that have experienced many different, oh boy, stories and healing and challenges and lessons and love and abundance and, you know, the things that encompass all of humanity's possibilities. We are a part of that through many lifetimes. And in this lifetime, we have greater consciousness on the planet than ever before. And that means we get to work with it in incredible ways. And I hope that this program helps you understand more about the global energies and how you can incorporate them into your life and your experiences through your personal natal astrology chart. Astrology has been a tool through the ages. It's been a study since before it could have been documented. The ancient Egyptians followed the sun and the moon and the stars. They could only see so far. I believe that it was Saturn or Jupiter was the farthest planet they could see with their technology. And they would watch for eclipses. You know, they would watch the moon. They could see the different cycles and how it had worked with the harvests of the fruits, of the corn, of the wheat, whatever they were growing. And they came to understand that there are cycles in place. And what are the messages of those cycles? And then, of course, you have different teachings of astrology in India and in other parts of the world that came to understand how astrology and the gifts of timing were present. I focus on Western astrology, but there is Vedic astrology. There are different subcategories of astrology. So it's truly a giant topic that interests some people and not others. That's cool. You know, I think the funny thing about astrology these days is that, you know, a lot of people want to understand it or they want proof and they're skeptical. So normal. I've been studying astrology for 25 years and I still get skeptical. You know, that's just our linear minds working, questioning, making sure we're not being duped, making sure I'm not an idiot, you know. I think it's great to have conversations with skeptics. But one thing that's really important to me is to never be on that place of convincing people they have to believe something. Believe whatever you want. Believe what works for you. And for those of us who like astrology, who see its accuracy, who see it working in our lives, who understand the gifts it offers, it really adds a lot of richness to our lives, to our world, and to understanding ourselves, right? And so I hope that you are, if depending where you are with astrology, maybe you're brand new to it or you've been studying it for years, decades, it is an ongoing puzzle, and it's always fascinating. So I offer you my understandings of it and hope it brings you clear direction, but also helps you detach, helps you see something bigger than you is always in place. And so, as we enter May, today is Wednesday, May 3rd, And the most famous planet of all, Mercury, because people might not know anything about astrology, but they'll probably have heard of Mercury retrograde. Mercury retrograde stations direct 24 degrees of Aries. He has been in retrograde, perceived retrograde, because the planet never actually goes in reverse. It's just our perception here on Earth and how things work and timing and the ellipse, blah, blah, blah. It gets confusing, so I'm not going to go there. But retrogrades are always a perception from Earth. And so when a planet then is perceived to station direct, what that means is he's put in on the brakes. It's like you're in your car reversing out of your driveway. Mercury's been reversing out of the driveway for over 3 weeks. Now he's applying the brakes to come to a complete stop, and he shifts gears to go forward. So when Mercury comes to a stop, we need to breathe. We can celebrate and say, oh, good, you know, the planet's no longer in retrograde. But the station direct is when there's a stillness, a pause, the brakes are applied. So you don't quite take off just yet. It's a bit like, okay, I'm going to get into forward motion, get some things together, and then move forward. And so we're going to feel that over the next coming days and week, that Mercury starts to move forward and gets going again in his little race car. He's in a race car because he's in Aries. He's going to make a third conjunction with Uranus and with Eris, and then he's going to trine Saturn, and then he's going to move back into Taurus, where he slows down again, and he considers, and he observes, and he looks at things, and he evaluates, and he assesses what has a value. And he determines where to invest his ideas and his money, and what is really the most important thing. So we're in a shifting period here as May gets underway. And actually, you know, Mercury's going to be in at 24 degrees of Aries until Monday. And then he enters Taurus on May 17th. So we still got some time here to work out the kinks of Mercury retrograde. And I know that for many people, it was rough. April in itself was a rough month. Things fell apart, they ended, they came apart, they, you know, you lost the energy you thought you were using to as motivation. It's like everything kind of had a pause or a crumble, or even just that sense of, you know, you throw it all up in the air and you're like, I don't know what's going to come back down and land. So April was meant to show us what's really a priority. What really matters? And do you still believe in the dream, the vision, the way forward, the path, what you're building? And this is the year to be in action for your next vision, your next dream. That's because Saturn in Sagittarius is trining Uranus in Aries until November. It started in late 2016, and it's an aspect that's getting stronger, and it's coming and going throughout 2017. And this is the year of the motivation, inspiration, action, ideas, the way ahead, what you really want, what calls to you, what stirs up your heart, what gets you going. And we're going to have something really cool shift into place in May. So you have these two outer planets, Saturn and Uranus, in, we'll say, I'm going to say about 25, 27 degrees, Aries and Sagittarius. Starting May 9th, the North Node moves into Leo. And the North Node and the South Node always move backwards. And so they're moving from Virgo, 0 degrees of Virgo, to 29 degrees of Leo. And as the North Node moves backwards, slowly, it's a slow-moving point in the sky, it's going to create a really zesty, invigorating grand trine in fire that's going to take that energy of what you're building, your motivation, where you're going, the path ahead, and it's going to show you how to express creatively and from your heart who you really are in a new way. It's pretty awesome. You can't see it, but I'm giving you a thumbs up right now, because the North Node is always showing us how we're growing, how we're moving ahead, how we're being supported and at times challenged to develop new aspects of ourselves. And when the North Node shifts into Leo, it activates our creativity, our heart, our desire to take a risk. It activates courage. It activates a sense of pride in self and purpose. It's about love and dating and sex and children. Very playful. It's your inner child. And it also activates one of the eclipses from February. Remember February? Feels like eons ago. And it activates one of the upcoming eclipses in August. So the North Node moving into Leo is yet another sign that you're supposed to get your butt in gear and go for it. You're supposed to do it. And we can think it through too much. We can overthink something. We can hold ourselves back. But there's so many signs this year from the cosmos that you're really meant to take action on the dream, the next chapter, the next expression, the next part of you. So, May 9th, North Node goes into Leo, the sign of I am, the sign of self-expression, the sign of self-expression, creative self-expression, the sign of your heart's passion, and it's going to connect with Saturn in Sagittarius. It's going to connect with Uranus in Aries, and it's, again, going to activate that grand trine. Now, a grand trine happens when three signs of an element, in this case all the fire signs, are making a triangle. And we don't say a triangle because that's not sexy. We say a grand trine. We say a grand trine because it sounds more glamorous. The grand trines are rare, but they can happen through any time three planets in three different elements line up. So, for example, to have a water grand trine, which we had a few years ago, there was Scorpio, Pisces, and Cancer. There were three planets in those signs that all connected at the same degree point and lined up. And usually it happens, it can happen with the moon, which is always fast moving, but when it happens with these outer planets, the slower moving, it means you have time. So take a breath. Whew, you have time to keep going, follow the passion, follow the dream, follow you. Uranus in Aries is saying it has to be uniquely you. It's that dream you've been holding, that part of you that you're ready to share. So that's really exciting if you are ready for the next steps, the next dream. We also have the planets in Aries. We have Venus back in Aries, and she's like impatient and let's go. And I thought I started this already, and now I have to come back and start it. You know, she's kind of like, oh, we're going to do this, and we're going to do it right this time. We also have, as I mentioned, Mercury, Uranus, and Aries in Aries. And it's telling you that it is go time. It's go, go, go for that thing that maybe didn't get going in February or March. It's go, go, go. And I feel like May has a looser energy, and June has a little bit more air. It's like, okay, things are really flow. There's more flow in June. So understand that April was tough, and now we move ahead. You take what you learned. You pick up the pieces. You soldier on. You move it forward. You let bygones be bygones, and you keep going, darling, and that's what we do. Now, the planet that really helps us keep going is Mars. And I haven't touched on Mars much, but I want to touch on him today because Mars is many things, but it's associated with action, assertiveness, anger, masculine energy, self-expression, what you want, how you assert yourself for what you want, how you go for it. Mars is the part of us that is where we're comfortable taking action or going for something. And Mars is right now in Gemini. Gemini is communications, ideas, mental, data, linear, speaking. It's teachers. It's our neighborhood, our siblings, our peers. It's your coffee shop. It's your local community. It's short travel trips that you take, down the street, or the short trips you take that don't require long distance travel. It's how we move about our daily lives. And Mars in Gemini is also associated with writers, and so when Mars first goes into a sign, he tends to agitate things. He tends to stir up any anger, anything underneath the surface that you didn't know was there. And then Mars goes into Gemini, I'm really mad about this. I didn't know I was mad about it, but now I'm really fired up about this. And I really, my ego took a hit, or my ego won't settle for this, is really where Mars is showing you what's out of balance. So I was watching. Okay, Mars goes into Gemini. Who's mad? Guess who's mad? The writers. Screenwriters, television writers, the Writers Guild of America started a little flurry, if you will. First it started as threats, and then it was the sense that, okay, our contract is expiring. We're mad about our contract, and we're not getting health care, and we can't work as much as we used to because of how entertainment and television is changing, and all the ways that, frankly, writers definitely have a right to be mad because they don't want to be screwed over by the entertainment industry or by studio executives. So Mars goes into Gemini. The writers are mad, and they're going to stage a walkout or a strike if their contract isn't renegotiated to their satisfaction. It turns out that the Mercury retrograde really worked in their favor. So Mercury went retrograde in Taurus, and Taurus is about money. Mercury is asking for money. Well, we want more money. And then it goes back into Aries. And thankfully, Mercury in Aries happened because it then made trines with Saturn and Sagittarius. Saturn is your boss. And because Mercury made a trine to your boss said, okay, I see your point. Okay, we can work with that. Let's figure this out. So the strike didn't happen because the writers were able to negotiate with the studio executives for better contract terms, for better healthcare coverage, for what they wanted. And it also worked out because Mars in Gemini is ruled by Mercury. Mercury is in Aries, which is called mutual reception. That's when the two planets are in each other's natural sign and they talk to each other. It's a bit like they have walkie-talkies, and they're saying, okay, I'm going to go do this. What do you think about that? And the other one says, yeah, you should go do that, and I'll be over here doing this, so let me know if you need anything. And they talk back and forth on these walkie-talkies. This energy really supported writers. The contract deadline was, I believe, was May 1st. It happened. They were able to secure a new contract. There was no strike. By the way, if there had been a strike, maybe you remember this from 10 years ago, all of the daily programs would stop, such as the talk shows, the soap operas, late night television, all those would come to a halt. And then anything that was supposed to be in production this summer would also be stalled out. And 10 years ago, when the writers went on strike, it was for a long time. I think it was over 100 days. And they ended up bringing in temporary writers, and it was a big fiasco. I'm really curious what that chart would have been, what the astrology was happening there. But this time around, it worked out fine. And the planet supported the writers. The studio executives were able to hear those requests. Things were renegotiated and reprioritized, which happens under Mercury retrograde, right? We do everything that starts with RE. Now, the other thing that's coming up is that we see what transpired during Mercury retrograde. Now we need a minute to sit with it. And we come back and we look at it again, and maybe we see something we didn't see at first. Or we say, wait a minute, I didn't catch that detail, or I missed, the fine lines at the bottom of the contract. So I'm curious to see what happens if anything changes with this writer's strike issue, because if it was agreed to under Mercury retrograde, it can still shift and change. And the other thing coming up, we have Mars in Gemini. When he gets to 13 degrees, 14 degrees, he's going to square Neptune. That happens next week. May 12th and 13th? And when Mars squares Neptune, there's usually a defeat, a discouragement. Something is lost. Something ends. And that's because Mars is our ego and Neptune is spirit. And the ego, it can't fight. It can't fight for what spirit is asking you to let go of. So heads up that next week, May 12th, 13th, 14th, that weekend, there may be a defeat of some kind if you have any planets at 13 or 14 degrees. And it's really showing you to trust. It's a surrender energy. You can't force the tides. You can't force the change. Even though your ego wants to say something or wants to go out and do something, this is asking you to trust something that you can't see yet. So that's coming up next week. But Mars is only at 8 degrees of Gemini right now. He's still in the first decan, and he stirs things up. As I said, when he goes into a new sign, we still have at least a month and a half of Mars in Gemini. And Mars in Gemini is showing us how we go for what we want and how we talk about it to ourselves and how we assert and how we talk about the story, because Gemini is a storyteller. And our words can be angry. We could voice our frustration through words. You know, watch those emails, watch those conversations, watch what you say, look at your intention, look at what you want in the long term. Because Mars and Gemini can have a quick tongue. It can be gossipy, like the mean gossip. It's interesting because Mars can be really immature. It can be too egocentric, too self-centric, and that's where it gets to be unhealthy or challenging, is that you have this child, which is Mars, who's running around screaming what they want and what they should have and da-da-da. But as Mars matures, he gets stronger in a sense of self, and he understands there's different ways of working with people, of getting what he wants. He doesn't give up, but he does understand that maybe he can't have everything right away. And so a healthier Mars is understanding that you can go for what you want, but check in with your intention. Don't do harm to others. It's the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you wish them to do unto you. And that's a mature Mars. That's a healthy Mars. That's a Mars who can assert themselves without hurting or damaging another. When Mars is moving through the world, it can be reckless. And, you know, anger comes up. Again, it goes back to that need to assert oneself. The frustration can come up if it doesn't get what it wants. But the mature Mars can trust that there's many ways to get what you want, and how you take action can change. So be flexible, be adaptable, stay open. And that's what Mars in Gemini is showing us. It's also angry drivers. And yesterday I was driving. I was even going a little bit over the speed limit. I'm not a slow driver. And this guy came up right behind me. You know how someone rides your tail. And I wasn't going to go faster just because he wanted to go faster. I wasn't going to get a ticket. I wasn't going to be dangerous. I was like, I'm sticking to my guns here. Like, I'm going 50 miles per hour in a 45. Well, you know, he wasn't having it, and he was an angry Mars in Gemini, and he passed me and took off. And it kind of made me smile because you think, oh, Mars in Gemini, you understand it's angry drivers. But it reminded me of when I was younger and my friend and I had just gotten our license, and we used to make up stories about angry drivers to explain their circumstances, to kind of give them that benefit of the doubt and to make ourselves laugh. So we would say, oh, Sylvia just cut me off. What's going on with her? And my friend would say, oh, it's because she just got in a fight with Henry. And I'd say, yeah, it was a bad fight last night. And I'd be like, oh, do you remember what they were fighting about? And my friend would say, well, yeah, it was her casserole dish. He didn't like it. And so we'd create this really ridiculous story about why this woman cut us off. And it made us laugh. It changes the energy. It changes someone's aggression, your perception of their aggression. It changes the story. And that was what made it fun, you know, to have this sense of, you know, create this ridiculous story about why a driver did something. So this month, you might find yourself creating stories about people who are being too aggressive, too assertive, or too dangerous. And you can say, okay, they just have an immature Mars right now. The person who passed me in the car, I basically thought, oh, he's probably his dog is in the car with him and he has to get the dog to the vet. It's like, sure, maybe he's a jerk, but maybe there's another reason why he was really aggressive. So that's always your choice, is to look at the story. And Mars in Gemini is asking us to look at how we use stories to go for what we want, how we speak to ourselves, how we communicate what we want, how we perhaps take on too much. Mars in Gemini is a multitasker, and it wants to do everything. It wants to go in every direction. It wants to go to every bar in one night. You know, it wants to go to the new restaurant here and the new cafe there and the new club there. It's very active energy. It can be very stressful. There can be heightened mental stress. You can feel more anxiety. So take the time to slow down, to breathe, to do your yoga, to do your meditation, to do anything that helps you move through all of this dynamic energy. It'll be worth it, and it's a choice you always have to not take on the energies that you don't want to take on or you don't want to participate in. So this episode went fast. I hope you'll join me next Wednesday. And remember, beach retreats are happening. The link is in the show description. Two beach retreats this fall. You are going to love being in Florida in the fall. It's perfect weather. The ocean is warm. The beach is perfect. We're going to have a great time, wonderful food, two different retreats that you should check out, one for writers and one for spiritual growth. So check out the link. Otherwise, I'll see you back here next Wednesday. And be careful out there. And I hope you have some really fun stories that you create in your head for those crazy drivers. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.